In hindsight, all great ideas are obvious. The big ideas of today will become market-leading companies in the near future, reimagining every sector of the economy for the better. Climate, healthcare, food, transportation, housing, energy, and more. Welcome to Obvious Ideas, a podcast exploring the transformation of the fundamental building blocks of life and society. I'm Andrew Beebe, Managing Director at Obvious Ventures. This is the second episode in our 8-part series on climate. In each episode, we dig into the biggest opportunities for founders and professionals in any industry to tackle our climate crisis. Today, I'm speaking with Maria Fujihara, founder and CEO of Sinai Technologies. Sinai is the world's leading enterprise software platform to measure, analyze, price, and reduce emissions. In this episode, Maria shares why and how she works with the world's biggest carbon emitters and her advice for taking the leap into working in climate. Maria, great to see you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
This podcast is really about helping people who want to join the climate tech movement understand the different points of entry and the different ways that they can become part of what we're doing and what you're doing. So what's the origin story for you and for Sinai?
I won't tell my whole story, but I'm originally from Brazil, as you may notice, my accent, and I've been working in sustainability my whole life, maybe even when I was a baby, because both of my parents are in this space. My dad brought carbon markets to Brazil in the 80s, and my mom works for environmental impact of big construction sites. And I started my career in the sustainable construction industry. I'm an architect that never designed a building my whole life, but I've always been very much interested in understanding the impact of humans in the natural environment. I worked for this organization, the Brazil Green Building Council, for many years, and I helped to develop and adapt the green building movement in Brazil and 5 other countries in Latin America. And that feels like a past life because I came to the US 6 years ago. And after going over a program in Singularity University, which is a place that teaches you how to use exponential technologies to solve climate change, I started Sinai. I was blown away by all these technologies. Growing up, you know, in a developing country, you don't have a lot of contact with this kind of thing, but you do have a lot of contact with the natural environment. So there's pros and cons. But anyway, my idea was that I understood that we needed to merge those two, nature and technology, and that's how Sinai started.
When people get to know Sinai, what is the core business proposition that you're offering? What is the problem you're trying to solve as a team?
Our main proposition is actually to help companies to decarbonize. We are the only platform in the world that focuses on decarbonization intelligence. And we help our customers who are big polluters to go much beyond carbon accounting. I understand that carbon accounting is just the tip of the iceberg, and it's just really the beginning of this journey. So attaching financial benchmarks into their emissions is literally the main way that business people can actually understand how to allocate capital and invest in cost-beneficial solutions. And we basically help them through this journey. We are the best fit for companies that are looking to develop a long-term emissions reduction strategy.
And you are reaching out to customers of all types, but you know, if I run an ice cream store, is that applicable, or are you only going after the largest and more complex businesses out there?
Yeah, no, ice cream stores are not our focus. We are focusing on large emitters. So companies in industries that have real physical assets like steel, mining, agriculture, transportation, this kind of thing.
And why go after those big industrials versus something like a Google or a Facebook? I mean, we're here in Silicon Valley. Those could be easy targets. Why are those industrials so important to you?
They are the most relevant to climate change overall. I don't think we are going to reverse climate change by helping the ice cream start. That's how it started. And at the same time, because they are the ones that need help the most. they are so big and dinosaurs and don't have the right tooling. And sustainability teams, departments inside these corporations, they have been there for a long time, but they are literally the last ones to be disrupted. They don't know tech and they need all kinds of tools and information and data and analytics. And besides that, I saw this huge market opportunity that they are in need of. And there's no other provider basically that can help them.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, basically, you're going where the biggest challenges are. What's your vision for how you might be able to, like 10 years forward, what are you able to help them accomplish? Take a steel company.
So the way that I see some of the companies we work with, just like oil and gas is transitioning to become energy companies, I see metals and agriculture and chemicals are doing the same. They are looking new sources of revenue, new revenue streams, and new opportunities that they can transition into. So JBS announced a huge investment in a lab-based culture meat. Bayer just launched their carbon program for growers, and they are actually paying farmers to actually capture carbon in the soil. And so they are diversifying. And I think our system can help them not only to upgrade their existing operations, but we can also help them to actually allocate and be thinking more in the longer term. So what are the technologies that are coming and where they should be investing?
And you have customers in how many countries now?
Almost 15 countries.
In that sort of global view, if I could just, let me give you an example, which I think is not a customer. If I was running sustainability or I was the CFO of a global transportation company or logistics company, and I ran ships all around the world, and I came to you and said, Maria, help, we're in trouble. We have all these big assets. How would your software help us?
What we can do is to identify what are all the opportunities that they have for upgrading the ships or upgrading the trips. And this comes into other types of technology that they can implement. So anything from different fuels that they could use up to different routing and other types of hardware that can enhance their route. But essentially, we can bring a technological roadmap of multiple potential technologies that they could be implementing. And we can help them to identify what is the most cost-beneficial technology based on abatement and based on cost of abatement. Abatement simply means to reduce the concentration of certain gases and contaminants in the environment. So you are literally stopping that pollution. So this is where the financial pieces comes together with the environmental impact. So once they understand cost of abatement, they can actually invest in the solution and can upgrade their operations.
And you also, in addition to having a very globally diverse customer base, you have a globally diverse team. What do you see in terms of people from traditional technology coming over to climate tech? Is that a trend? Are people looking for that kind of meaning and connection and values orientation in their work and try to join you from more traditional technology roles?
Absolutely, yes. I really love this merge of multiple skills. People working in climate and software, or I don't know, biology and energy generation. So there's so many different skills that we can combine, and these are going to be the jobs of the future. For Sinai specifically, we are either hiring people in climate or people in tech. So as long as you're in tech and passionate about climate, or you're in climate and passionate about tech, I think it works. Because you can learn both, and it's just a matter of merging these different roads. Yeah, come join. We're hiring.
I think you made a decision as COVID hit, or maybe it was making a decision that was already in the works even easier, but you are a distributed team. Is that right, globally?
Yes, we have almost 10 different nationalities in the company right now.
And how is that going for you? And what are the things you've learned along the way as you try to build a fast growth startup, which is hard enough as it is, but then doing that with a very distributed team can be even more challenging?
Yeah, it's not easy, but we have to be flexible. It forced us to be much more mindful with documentation and with meetings as well. And to be honest, I really miss the human contact and the human connection. I really hope we can find a middle ground eventually once we open the borders again.
And your team is very technical. You have a lot of engineers on the team. When you are screening engineers, I love your idea that you can either be deep in climate and love tech or be deep in tech and love climate. How do you think about onboarding those folks who come heavily weighted in that one side or the other?
Yeah, no, for sure. We can ramp anyone. Of course, I think the main differentiator is how much they are willing to learn and how fast they can learn. But yeah, we have tools to ramp people on both sides. But at our stage, we are very early. I think we need people passionate about it because we have so much work that if we are not really passionate about what we are doing or the problem we are solving, you're going to burn out. So just be real, because startups are hard, but at the end, it's so rewarding to be working in something that it's really meaningful. And just recently, we ran our first employee survey and we got great results, even though the biggest feedback is there is a lot of work. But I think they should be aware that that's what they signed up for. But it's very meaningful. 100% of people find meaning in their job in our company, literally 100. And I think this is the best outcome that we can get out of all of this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I imagine a product manager from Meta or Google or Netflix or something listening to this and trying to figure out how do they make that transition to working in climate. What's your advice for somebody taking that leap when they just don't feel as knowledgeable about the space?
I think it's one big important concept people need to break is that a lot of the climate and social work is normally associated with charity and that they are not going to make that much money. You can make money by working in climate startups right now. Why do you need to make 3 times more than you are doing now with climate? Where this money is going to take you and why do you really need it? So I think thinking about this is important. Like, this is not charity. There are real businesses and businesses making a lot of money in climate and bringing meaning to people's life. And I think now is the moment for you to not be afraid and just take this leap and do it.
I love it. Just do it. Maria, we always close the show with the following question. In hindsight, all great ideas are obvious. Come 2030, what are we going to look back at then as an obvious idea that today seems crazy?
Recently, I've been very obsessed with mycelium and fungi. And I also have been learning about this concept, biomimicry. And biomimicry, in my opinion, is one of the most advanced tools that we can use to really be more in line with nature. So we observe nature and we recreate different things from natural environments, basically. I think mycelium can teach us about how to, for example, replace fiber optics and use it as communication systems. I think we can do so much with mycelium and use the biomimetic and biomimic concepts to create very interesting products that are going to take us closer to nature, not further from nature.
Love it. Well, on that note, Maria, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you, Andrew. I love it. Thank you for having me and for doing this.
That was Maria Fujihara, founder and CEO of Cyanide Technologies. Next week on the show, we're going to speak with Jason Jacobs, the creator and host of the podcast My Climate Journey.
You don't have to start with gory stuff that makes your eyes glaze over. Like, pick a lane that's intellectually interesting to you and enjoyable to learn about, and just pull a thread, and then pull a different thread.
Obvious Ideas is produced by Obvious Ventures in partnership with Pod People. Obvious invests in purpose-driven founders, reimagining trillion-dollar industries. To learn more about us and where we invest, head to obvious.com. Special thanks to our production team, Gabe Kleiman, Aniko Stefan, and Emily Brady from Obvious, and the team at Pod People, Rachel King, Amy Machado, Emily Shaw, Madison Lusby, and Jason Mack. I'm Andrew Beebe. Thanks for listening.